Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is ESPN Radio.
He's Jay Williams. I'm Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us this morning on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app. SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPN 2, and ESPNU. We're going to get into James Harden and when he could get his wish of being out of Philadelphia. And right now, Jay, well, I thought about this with James Harden.
You've been doing some deep late night thinking about James Harden?
Yeah, a dangerous pastime, I know. I completely understand that when it comes to me. No doubt about that. They have this new TV show coming out called The Golden Bachelor, in which they have this 71-year-old man. By the way, the women that are going to be a part of this are no less than 60 years of age.
Wait. Time out.
Yeah, exactly.
Please define Golden Bachelor.
That's what it's called because he's 71 years of age.
Like Golden Years.
Right,
okay.
Exactly. He shall remain nameless. Jerry Turner, 71 years of age. Retired restaurateur, you know, widowed. And that's like the new entity when it comes to The Bachelor. Why do I have the feeling that this could be like the James Harden story of Philadelphia, him being the Golden Bachelor, because nobody seems to want him to his liking when it comes to James Harden?
First off,
you see what I did there?
I know.
Yes, you did.
I can't watch a guy do his thing at that age. I don't know if I feel comfortable. First off, before we get into James Harden.
Right. That's fair. I completely hear. But all the women will be over the age of 60. Because I know
people
wondering.
I ain't going to stop him. He's in his golden years. I ain't going to stop him.
I'm just saying they're not going to be 25, 30-year-olds out there.
Yates said he definitely got old school pickup lines for sure.
Well, I hope so.
Oh, I know he got some cold stuff under his bag. Hey, I know look, he did.
Hey, don't sleep on me. I'm still active. Man. I'm still active now. You see me getting my steps in. Y'all be careful.
I want to know how he going to finesse this.
Put it this way, he hasn't used those lines in years, and those women probably haven't heard it, so it could be a perfect storm for Mr. Turner.
It's too soon, though, but if they had casted my dad, though, oh, boy. 70,
oh, really?
Go here, oh, boy, they would learn today.
Oh, your dad's that dude?
He's him.
He is him.
Would you have made a cameo on the show?
Because he would have no time for nobody. What'd you say, Yates?
Would you have made a cameo on the show?
Now, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Kind of like help him through?
Yeah. I'm guiding him. I'm talking him through.
All right. So Pop, you swipe
like her,
right.
She don't shave. Yeah.
So what would be the best advice you would give your dad if he was in that situation?
We're here for a good time, not a long time.
You know, I.
Let's go, Dad.
That Costello's just shaking his head.
What? My dad will live his best life? Well, you tell your dad not to have fun? What do you mean?
No, I'm just laughing.
See what your options are, Pops.
Because I've seen pictures of your dad, and I know you, and I could imagine how that conversation exactly would sound the way you just said it.
Yeah, because my dad is extremely, anybody knows D. Will, man. Da Woo is what they call my pops. Like, laid back. Yeah. Like, so late, private. Don't like cameras. So, like, I try to tell my wife, like, my wife got asked, like, oh, you know, do you want to be, like, on Real Housewives and all these things? Like, we get all this inbound. And my wife's like, no, I just wouldn't be good on that show. I'm like, nah, see, that's why you will be, because you don't got time for any of that nonsense.
Exactly.
And media loves that because that creates friction and tension.
Yes.
Right? Now, we ain't going to do it, but I know the kind of casting that would be good for it. So it depends. What's the bag look like, Freddie?
Well,
what are we talking?
Put it this way, the dollars make sense.
Well,
put it this way. I'm sure there's going to be some dollars behind that because he's a retired restaurateur, so you know he's got some dough.
Wining and dining.
Yeah, he's got some dough, Ray Me. He roots for Chicago sports teams. Yeah. He hosts barbecues. He plays pickleball.
What?
Yeah, that anybody that plays pickleball.
Pickleball?
Yeah, they got some dough. Especially at that age of 71, they're not just doing it just to do it.
You imagine that, Freddie, you in the middle of a game of pickleball, like, hold on, bring out that 2000 in two bottle of Bordeaux. Dough. Yeah, bring it, hand it to her.
You know that's how he's running.
You have some wine and cheese while I get this cardio. Yeah.
By the way, he has four daughters, so that'll get interesting.
Active.
The kind of advice they're going to give their dad.
What a great cast. Now back to James Harden. What the hell were we talking about again?
See, the minute I threw Golden Bachelor at you, And then all of a sudden you said, wait a minute, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that?
Brain goes in so many different directions, Freddie.
It really does. Because right now, that's where we are with our brain going in so many different directions. And especially James Harden wants one direction. He wants out of Philadelphia. And apparently Daryl Morey, the Sixers general manager, has gotten that message based on what he said on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia yesterday.
James is a very good player. Right now, unfortunately, he does prefer to be somewhere else. I do have a long relationship with him. I'm attempting to honor that. But the reality is, if we do look at a trade, it's going to be for one of two things. It's either going to be for a player who continues to help us be right there like we were last year, or we're going to do it for something where we get enough draft picks and things like that in a deal such that we can then turn those into a player who can be a running mate with Joel as well. But if we don't get either a very good player or something that we can turn into a very good player, then we're just not going to do it. And if James were to turn his mind around, we would all be thrilled. You heard Joel's comments about that. But at this moment, he does prefer to be traded, and we're attempting to honor that.
Okay, what did he
say? Many things to unpack there, Freddie. Yeah. So much to unpack there. Can we just start off with the last thing?
Mm-hmm.
Nuno, we got the sound again. Can you play it for us one more time? I just want to hear it in its entirety. Yates, play it for me one more time because I just want to hear it.
James is a very good player. Right now, unfortunately, he does prefer to be somewhere else. I do have a long relationship with him. I'm attempting to honor that. But the reality is, if we do look at a trade, it's going to be for one of two things. It's either going to be for a player who continues to help us be right there like we were last year, or we're going to do it for something where we get enough draft picks and things like that in a deal such that we can then turn those into a player who can be a running mate with Joel as well. But if we don't get either a very good player or something that we can turn into a very good player, then we're just not going to do it. And if James were to turn his mind around, we would all be thrilled. You heard Joel's comments about that. But at this moment, he does prefer to be traded, and we're attempting to honor that.
Did you hear how many of those words were posturing?
What? Complete.
Come on, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, right now, okay, right now being July 19th, okay,
mm-hmm.
Things can change. You know, we're attempting to trade, right. Another exit opportunity word.
Uh-huh.
If we do look for a trade, mm-hmm. another, you know, kind of outing, let me give you an exit line here. He said right now, again, if James were to buy in, yeah, so essentially you're saying all these things because you're not going to get the value in return for James, okay? Yep. There's nobody on the market that somebody's going to say, hey, we'll give up another star player for James first off. That's not happening. That's going to get you back to the level with Joel Embiid,
right? Exactly.
Like nobody's going to look at James Harden and be like, okay, I'll give you – I mean, the days of players exchanging top-tier talent for top-tier talent are over, right? Like even look at what we got for like KD. You're going to get a whole bunch of draft picks. You're not going to get another top-tier talent in exchange.
Yeah.
Teams are too smart now. They're like, oh, we'll give you some draft picks. We'll give you some twos. Look, Bradley Beal, prime example. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, even if you were to take a whole bunch of – even if some team was like the Clippers. Let's say the Clippers, they bit.
Okay.
Okay? And right. James wants to play with Russell Westbrook.
Right. Okay.
And that's Kawhi, and they give you all these picks. Like, look at what teams are holding – Dame hostage for.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Four first-round picks? You think you're going to get that in return?
For James Harden? No.
At this exchange, even if you were able to get one or two, like that seems excessive right now for where James Harden is at. I don't know if I'm doing that as an opposing GM. I'm not going to give up that many assets for where James Harden is right now, where I'm unsure that he's going to change his style of play. Even if I'm a young team, Freddie, and I keep going back to this really big point. You know, when young players get drafted, where you get drafted to and who you're surrounded with matters. Culture matters. How are you breaking these young people into the game of learning how to be professional? Now, I'm not saying James can't do it.
Right.
I just wouldn't bet on James Harden to do it at the level I would want my vet to do it. To help my young fellas mature the right way into what kind of leadership I wanted for my organization. That just makes me think Daryl's stuck. He can posture all day, but James is going to come back and play.
Yeah, and here's the deal to that point. Daryl Morey doesn't know what to do because he never thought in a million years that James Harden won out of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. He said it himself, I've known James Harden a long time. When they brought James Harden to the Philadelphia 76ers, when he won out of Brooklyn, he was tired of that whole circus. He was tired of that whole with the Brooklyn Nets. He wanted out. Didn't want to be around Kyrie. Didn't want to be around KD. Didn't want anything to do with that. He wanted to get out of that before that situation went south, which is exactly what it turned out when it came to the Brooklyn Nets. Daryl Morey probably thought, yes, I got James Harden back. We're going to have a chance to win the championship. We got a better chance here. We got Joel Embiid. Everything was supposed to be on that silver platter for that to happen. He never thought in a million years, not even a year and a half later, that James Harden would say, I know we had a great relationship. I want out of here. I want to go somewhere else. You haven't respected me the way I want to be respected by giving me an extension. Daryl Morey can't give him an extension because the jury is still out on James Harden being that kind of player that can help out Joel Embiid or vice versa. So when you put that bill of goods out there and you're Daryl Morey to say, we got James Harden to be in the same line, the same level as Joel Embiid, and then a year and a half later, James Harden wants out, he doesn't know what to do, Jay, because he did not think for one second that James Harden went out of that situation based on their relationship when they had a chance to be together with the Houston Rockets.
I mean, up 3-2 against the Celtics, right? I mean, come on now.
Absolutely.
It ain't like they were right there.
Yep.
Right there. Absolutely. We need you to buy in, James. So, like, that's a waiting game that Daryl Morey has experience in. He did it with Ben Simmons.
Yes, he did.
Okay, let's sit and wait and let's be uncomfortable together. But I am ultimately afraid that James Harden could be the nail in the coffin for Joel Embiid with the 76ers.
Wow.
Like, if that relationship is forced and they fall short again, and there is a slight implosion between Daryl Morey and James Harden and Joel Embiid, like, that could be the end for Joel Embiid with the 76ers. So there is a lot riding on the dynamics and the chemistry of this trio and how it's going to work. And it better lead to them winning a championship or being in the NBA Finals. Because if it does not, Freddie, that's not going to be good.
Yeah, it's not good now when you can't get out of the second round. And now you add all of this on top of it with James Harden and Joel Embiid. Daryl Morey right now is twisting in the wind because he has no idea how to fix this because it may not be able to be fixed to his liking, meaning winning a championship in Philadelphia. Great stuff by Jay Williams. Hit him on Twitter at RealJayWilliams. I'm Freddie Coleman. Hit me on Twitter, Coleman ESPN. Part of This Morning on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. SiriusXM Channel 80 and ESPN2. And speaking of Joel Embiid, Daryl Morey tried to explain Joel Embiid wanting to win a championship inside, outside of Philadelphia. Yeah, that didn't land well either. We'll get to that next on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is ESPN Radio.
Man, I used malpractice wrong there, but that's okay.
No, you didn't. I don't believe so. because plenty of people have been riding that malpractice train with you about Philadelphia and Joel Embiid. Give some credit to yourself, Jay Williams, on Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. What are you saying?
You said malpractice, how it's correctly pronounced.
Right.
Jay said mail practice.
That was early on. That was early on before he self-corrected.
Yes.
Just saying.
He had to self-correct because you guys wouldn't leave it alone.
You guys, what happens on this show. I mean, yesterday I say one thing. I meant to say meat and potatoes.
Oh,
and
God.
It just turns into a plug all of a sudden that gets used throughout the end of a show. It's awkward and it's just inappropriate.
Hold on, Jay.
And quite frankly, I find it ugly.
Yeah.
Since we're reviewing things.
I spent time with Say.
Who?
Say. I spent time with Say. Say I call some? Him Say.
Yeah.
For sure.
Everybody calls him Say.
For sure you can't call him Say.
Why can't he?
It sounds weird.
Why, but that's what
Pat, just because
him,
you
voice.
Don't know Saquon
Gates,
doesn't mean.
Gates, pull it up.
What?
I spent time with Say.
Why am I getting called out?
Jono Say?
Jono Say?
Jono Say?
Good Lord. Now we're going bilingual now.
Nothing wrong. You got to make sure that the game frequency is up a notch, Freddie. You know?
Hey, you never know.
Exactly. Hey. What I don't know is I don't know. That's completely correct.
Yeah, but
with both of you two.
Yo, Pinto Pat. They call him. See how you do that? It was Ferrari Pat when you like him, and then when you don't like him, it goes to Pinto Pat.
What?
But Pat, they call him Say.
Name four people who call him that.
Name four people. Name everybody four. Around him.
Okay, there's your four.
Nick Stefanski, I mean, all his guys, people that you don't know, Pat.
It's okay. Number four.
Pat's like, I need
top
a name.
Top four people who call him Say, not including you.
That's what we're doing as far as that goes.
This guy. This show is relentless.
We know that part.
Just saying, man. But James Harden.
What did they call him? Yates, you're one of the four people that know his nickname.
Exactly.
James, what did they call him?
Man, all I do is drink his wine, man. I'm out on him right now.
J.H.?
When should Leon Rose call the 76ers?
There you go. Ooh. Yeah, because here we go. Because all
here
of a sudden.
Goes Nuno.
That's
there goes
Nuno.
Nuno's
right.
You guys would be calling the 76ers for James Harden. Well, really?
No. Joel Embiid. No, not James Harden.
Okay, okay.
Nuno, I thought you wanted Cat.
I thought you guys want Cat.
I don't want Carl Anthony Towns. Nothing against him. No, yeah, I don't want him.
He
no.
Can chill. We don't want those Jersey guys on the team.
Wow.
Man, we went Tri-State.
Yeah, wow. Now shots fired at Jersey. What did Jersey do to you, Nuno?
Exactly. Jersey's a lovely state.
No, first off, where are you from?
I'm from Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you're not
why
even
did that
York,
feel
so
like a lie? That felt like a lie.
It felt like he didn't want to say it.
What are you hiding?
Maybe that's why he's hiding.
Nunito, what's going on? Carlito's way, what's going on?
I'm not hiding anything.
It's Nuno,
I'm
your
from,
real name.
Where am I from? Bridgeport.
Like you just spun a globe and pointed somewhere. Like, yeah, there. Right there.
Like from coming to America. Bridgeport.
looks like a lovely place. We'll go to Bridgeport.
You ignorant. Anyway, we're just going to leave that alone. When it comes to coming to America, just Google that. By the way, you're welcome.
Wait, Uncle and Neff, they're from Bridgeport. Have you watched this show, Freddie?
What show is that?
Yates, we got to put Freddie on.
No, what show is it? What's the name of the show?
Uncle and Neff, man. You got to.
I've heard of it, but I've never watched it.
You got to watch it.
I'll take your advice on that. I'll definitely watch that because
I'll
watch
that.
There we go. Then I'm in. Anytime that kind of comedy happens on IG Reels, I'm in.
It's just we were talking about, what a show would look like.
Right.
As it relates to what you said, the golden age.
No, the golden bachelor. The golden bachelor. About a 71-year-old widower looking for a love at this late stage in life. From women who are going to be part of that 60 years and over.
I mean, if that show is happening right now, then I need Uncle Neff to be on. Uncle Neff's show, I need them to be the golden age.
Okay.
For us. You know what I mean? That's going to be for us.
Not for anybody else, right?
Yes.
And our focus group or two.
You watch them on social, you'll get exactly what I'm talking about. That's the show I want to watch on mainstream network TV.
Okay, well, maybe they need that in Philadelphia. When it comes to Joel Embiid, because yesterday he talked about that he wants to win a championship, whether it's inside or outside of Philadelphia. So back to Daryl Morey, the Sixers general manager, who does not know what's going to happen with James Harden wanting out, if he can trade him, if he cannot trade him. When Daryl Morey heard about that, he had this response, a 97.5 to Fanat by Joel Embiid winning a championship, whether it's inside or outside of Philadelphia.
he and I spoke. Look, part of it's just the end of the day, he's talking about the business of the NBA. In his mind, he wants to win here. He wants to win it for Philly. That's the only place he wants to win. He absolutely was sort of referencing the fact that it's not totally in his control where he is at all times.
What?
Thank you.
You're reaching.
Reaching?
Reaching. What did my man Kenny Smith say one time? He's like, swimming hard.
You're swimming hard, dog. Yeah.
Swimming hard.
Swimming hard, going nowhere. you're just in the water exercising.
It's swimming hard.
That's what he is now. I mean, I guess he couldn't say anything else because the last thing you wanted to put out there is saying, well, if, you know, Joel Embiid wants to be traded, we may have to look at that. That's not going to land well in Philadelphia. This is what happens, Jay, when if you're Daryl Morey, it's maybe blowing up in your face sooner than you thought. With this Philadelphia experiment not going the way you want it, with James Harden looking to have a way out, and who knows how long Joel Embiid is going to be disgruntled, and he may want a way out sooner than later.
Freddie, you ever see a dog backed into a corner?
Yes, I have.
Like a stray dog, right? Like
absolutely.
Where it feels like it's being cornered and it goes into protection mode?
Yes.
Like that's what's happening with Daryl Morey right now. It's like I am in straight protection mode. Like I have a hard time understanding exactly how I'm going to play out this James Harden situation. It is fluid. Like we're going to have some highs, we're going to have some lows, but yeah. I have to keep it as it relates to the public even keel all the time. Even if that person needs to blow off some steam, it's my job to let me bring it from level 10 back down to a level 1.
Right.
Hey, like you feel a little bit depressed, let me bring you from a negative 5 back up to a 0. Right? I think that's what you're seeing Daryl Morey do in real time as he's managing all these different pieces. He has Joel Embiid that he's trying to keep happy, right? You're trying to actually build around a team. You're trying to also recognize the talent and potential of a young player like Tyrese Maxey, right, who is thinking to himself, like nobody's really talking about Tyrese Maxey, who I think might be the most interesting character out of everybody here.
Okay.
Because he is a critical piece, right? And what does Tyrese Maxey need? He needs the ball in his hands, right? Like, what do we talk about all the time? Like, we do all these pre-production meetings, post-show production meetings that we used to, and it's all about reps, Freddie. Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, you know, a 1,000 hours of reps. So the reps are different when everybody's looking at you to make those critical decisions down the stretch of the ball in your hands. And I've often said, it feels like that is the missing piece to the next iteration of who the 76ers can be. They can be a team in which if the ball were given to Tyrese Maxey and James Harden bought into a role of playing off the ball, shooting spot-up shots, creating shots, playing off the dribble of Tyrese Maxey, mm-hmm. being another additional playmaker, playing alongside Joel Embiid, I do believe that James Harden as that third option for a team, similar to the way he was a little bit with Brooklyn. Now, the role will be different
because
the ball is in his hands a lot.
Right.
Kyrie played off the ball, things of that sort. But I do believe that Tyrese Maxey has the ability to be that player for them, but the ability to defer is something that happens with younger players and older players. And Daryl Morey and company need to hand the keys to Tyrese Maxey mm-hmm. alongside Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
It goes Joel Embiid, okay. Tyrese Maxey, then James Harden. But it needs to be set that way. And if James Harden can't buy in, that's going to be challenging for Daryl Morey because he is stuck ultimately with James Harden.
Because James Harden's not going to buy in with that. He's not.
You have to figure it out.
Yeah. Well,
you have to find a way. There's no dancing around it. That is your answer, Freddie.
It is your answer.
That is your answer. Find a way to get that done.
But now it's incumbent upon Daryl Morey to do that.
Yes.
And right now he has no idea how to make that happen one way or the other.
Just Harry Douglas about to walk in here. He looking clean. He wearing a 3-piece suit. Wait until you see this man.
He's like a new dime, huh?
Oh, my goodness.
So
we're gonna ask, oh, my goodness.
We're going to ask the new dime that is Harry Douglas about the word pressure involving Bill Belichick when he joins us next on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is ESPN Radio.
Freddie, that's what we do when Harry Douglas comes on. We play the Anthony Hamilton for him like that.
Get the slow groove. Because he's the slow groove known as Harry Douglas.
Yeah, because he's wearing the Purple today.
Yes, he's got the grape on.
The Purple is purple with a French twist.
Can I hit one really quick for y'all?
Have at it. Go ahead.
Charlene.
There you go. Anthony Hamilton appreciates the royalties and residuals. Well done. Jay Williams, Freddie Coleman, Harry Douglas, ESPN Radio host and NFL analyst joining us in studio on ESPN Radio. It's also ESPN2 coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. And also apparently karaoke with Harry Douglas as well. Mm. Speaking of putting people on blast in terms of the New York Jets, and people can't wait to see what's going to happen. Hard Knocks going to be a part of that whole thing. The Jets didn't want to do it. Aaron Rodgers even said, Harry, that they were forced to do it because the NFL, they're a bunch of big bad bullies, but they'll do it anyway. But the Jets aren't going to give them any kind of access that they're looking for. What do you make of that?
Well, as far as, because, you know, I think they were complaints about, you know, showing guys getting cut. I understand Robert Saleh. I understand the Jets organization when that comes about. Now, one of the things we do have to remember is that Hard Knocks is a TV show, right? HBO's a TV show. So, yes, drama sells. Sad things sell. And I've done a reality show before, and I remember asking a producer, why can't we highlight more positive things? And he
what reality
show?
Well,
WAGS. Wife and girlfriends of sports stars in Atlanta.
Why have I never known this?
You didn't know that, Jay?
I was on that,
he was on that.
My God.
Yeah, I was on that.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's drama.
I was on there, Jay.
Woo. Okay, I see that personality coming out. Go ahead, Harry. All right, go ahead. So, I'm sorry. Now I got to look up WAGS. Go ahead.
One of the things that he mentioned, though, is like basically, you know, negativity sells. But being a former player – and when you get to know these guys that's on the back end of rosters trying to make the team, knowing how much it means to them and how heartfelt it is, and then to see those guys get released and let go, and for that to be shown on TV, that's something I always had an issue with when it came to Hard Knocks. But I did Hard Knocks in 2014 with the Atlanta Falcons. And for the Jets, just embrace it. Just still be yourselves. At the end of the day, your head coach and the organization gets the final say of what's being displayed and what's shown out there on TV. But don't let it become a distraction because you don't want to do it so much. So now you're going against the grain, against things that you normally do. Me, Roddy White, Julio Jones, Devin Hester, one of the things that we vowed to ourselves when they were in our meeting room and following us around a lot is that we were going to be who the hell we were no matter what. Right. And what they can use, they can use. What they couldn't use, that wasn't our problem.
But Freddie, I was thinking about this too because I wanted to ask Harry about this. Isn't that one of the problems though, right? Like, you guys were vets. Like, knowing who you are, right? And I know Aaron Rodgers is a vet.
Yep.
But you have a lot of young players, and you have a team that feels young that doesn't know who they are yet. They're trying to find out who they are. So, I mean, Harry, you and I, you've noticed, man, in so many locker rooms, like, the learning curve, the challenges that come along with that, somebody's like, oh, just be yourself. Like, I don't know who myself is in this environment with this team yet. And it's hard to figure out when there's pressure coming from Aaron Rodgers and cameras in your face.
Well, that's a great point, Jay, but that's also why you have to lean on the vets that you do have.
That's true.
Okay. That's why I always say when these organizations try to get rid of, you know, veteran players, and it happened to us when I was in Atlanta, right? We would go to an NFC Championship game in 2012, have a ton of veterans. Next thing you know, the locker room looks totally different in 2013, and we're playing with – rookies across the board in all different kind of places, and we don't have that success. But you need enough veterans on your football team to be able to talk to those young guys. I think about all the guys, man, I was able to mentor, and the older guys that mentored me that allowed me to be in a position to mentor people when I became a veteran, it was pivotal in my career, very pivotal. Having Brian Finneran and Michael Jenkins and Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez, and then the offensive lineman that we had, Tart McClure, who we call Mud Duck, that was valuable to me and my growth as a young player across the board in the National Football League.
By the way, Jets rookies and veterans report the training camp today. They are the first NFL team this summer to have everyone back at work. Always doing work is Harry Douglas, ESPN NFL analyst and also ESPN radio host, joining Freddie Coleman and Jay Williams this morning on ESPN Radio and ESPN2, staying in that division. Man, Bill Belichick, his owner's letting it be known. This better not be another year without a playoff. Bill O'Brien trying to be the buffer between him and Mac Jones, trying to get that quarterback thing started. And then Asante Samuel saying, greatest coach of all time a guy played for? It ain't Bill Belichick. Realistically, he shouldn't be under pressure. But on a scale of 1 to 5, Harry, with 1 being the worst and 5, let's just say 1 being the least and 5 being the highest, where is the level of pressure on Bill Belichick going into this season, according to you?
I give it a three. A lot of people say Bill Belichick going to be on the hot seat. I would not take it that far. I think what he's been able to do, 6 Super Bowls as a head coach of the New England Patriots. We got to remember, as a defensive coordinator with the Giants, he won 2. So I think Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time when you look at the NFL landscape. And when we look at great coaches, right, they all have that quarterback. They all have a generational type player on their roster, because otherwise, why would we be talking about them as being the greatest coach of all time? Mm-hmm. So when you look across the landscape of the NFL of coaches that are considered in those ranks, they all have had someone, and it might not have been a quarterback. You look at the Giants when Bill Belichick was there. He had Lawrence Taylor.
Yep.
That's a dog. But still, I think in order to become in that category, you have to have a generational type player. Look at Andy Reid right now with Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
It kind of has to happen. But I think it's very pivotal that they make the playoffs. I don't know how in the hell they're going to do it, because that division right now, they're the 4th best team in that division. And I think they dropped the ball not getting DeAndre Hopkins. Now, he would have moved the needle tremendously for them. But I think also when you look at Mac Jones, a quarterback who's trying to get back along the lines of his rookie season, because we've seen the frustration week in and week out last year, got benched in the whole nine for Bailey Zappe. I think they missed the opportunity to be able to get a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, because when you look at the catch radius, your quarterback doesn't have to be 95 or 100% right with a guy like that. He can be 70% right. He can be 60% right. But a guy like DeAndre Hopkins is going to make him right because of the 50-50. That's what most people call it. I call it 100-100, baby. 100-100 ball. It touches hands. Ask Kyler Murray and that Hail Murray that they did when DeAndre Hopkins was down there and he went up and hot pointed it. So I just thought that was a missed opportunity for Bill Belichick and the Patriots to get a guy to help Mac Jones.
See, HD brings me to my bigger point about the whole Bill Belichick conversation. I would agree with you. I think the coaching threshold is around a 3 pressure wise, yep. Right? It's in the middle of the pack. But like the GM aspect, like to me, like picking the talent, that feels high. But then I would ask you, can you separate the two with Bill Belichick? Do you see any world in which Bill will say, you know what, I'll acquiesce the picking of talent, but I still want to run my system? Would he ever be able to compartmentalize the two?
I think he's been doing it
it's
so
hand
long.
In hand.
I think he's been doing it so long. I think it's too late to ask him to do that. I think when we see Bill Belichick not do one thing, coaching or the GM aspect of things, I think that's the day we see Bill Belichick no longer with the New England Patriots. And let's be honest, he's earned that right, but he also played a major part in his team not being disciplined as we're accustomed to them seeing them be last season. Right. Also, Mac Jones and the growth that he didn't have in year 2. And then also, I just think you look at the special teams. They gave up 2 touchdowns against the Buffalo Bills on kick returns. When in the hell have we seen that happen to a New England Patriots team? They were one of the most flag penalized teams in the National Football League. So it's a lot of hurdles going into 2023 that they have to get over, in which in 2022 we are accustomed to seeing from a Bill Belichick-led team.
NFL season kicks off in 50 days when Kansas and Detroit have at it, and we can't wait to get closer and closer to that. By the way, Harry, you're going to be on what and where later on today?
So I got Get Up, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., then Right to First Take, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and then ESPN Radio, 12 noon to 3 p.m., baby.
Woo!
Wow.
Yeah! You said, what is that, Plum? Does he have old Plum? That's the reason why I wore Plum today. Come on, Jay.
Exactly, man. They worked you harder than Carl Armand the Projects today, man, my friend. Harry Douglas, ESPN Radio Analyst and NFL
Appreciate
Analyst.
It,
hit him on Twitter, HDouglas83, joining Freddie Cohen and also Jay Williams. Thanks, brother. Appreciate you, my man.
Yes, sir.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is ESPN Radio.
He's Jay Williams and Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us this morning on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app. SiriusXM Channel 80. Don't forget about us on ESPN2 and ESPNU. So we have one of our partners on ESPN Radio, part of the family, Harry Douglas, joining us not too long, about 5 minutes ago, talking a little NFL. Another one of our partners has an important question that has everything to do with Costco. I give you Chris Carlin from Canty and Carlin, Monday through Friday on ESPN Radio from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So no one should be surprised that Chris Carlin is in Costco. Those things go hand in hand. But while he was there, he pointed out an important question involving Carlin and Costco and comedy.
So I'm at Costco, and look, I'm not new to this at all, but one thing that has never been clarified for me is how many times is acceptable to circle back around for the samples, okay? This is not a, oh, fat guy wants something to eat in Costco, he's going to stand and hover. No. Two, three times, I feel like four, you might get the side eye, because I'm not going to lie, there is a grilled cheese sample here that is freaking off the charts. I've had two of them, and I think three might be pushing it. Look, these, man, those taquitos are only $13.99. That's not bad. Check that out. Anyway, provide some clarification for me, because I'm not sure what the etiquette is here.
I mean, the etiquette is you keep going back to the sample, the free samples. Oh, I'm sorry. What? They're for free, Freddie. I'm coming back 5-10 times if I want to. There's no limit. It's free.
There is no limit, but there should be some decorum and control. Shouldn't you think?
You get one, Jay. You get one free sample. If you go back for the second, you have to buy the product.
No, you don't.
What are your thoughts on that?
100% yes.
No way.
First of all, as long as you're not
I've done this. I've gone to the free sample, and I've got it 6-7 times.
Oh, wow.
So and I get the stinky eye. What are you going to do? Tell me no, it's not for free?
Are you the same guy that goes to the deli line and be like, hey, can I get a slice of cheese, and you come back and get 9 more slices of cheese?
No, but no, it doesn't say free cheese
say free
at the
sample.
Deli.
Yeah, it doesn't say that.
It says
get a
free sample.
Slice of cheese to eat is absolutely considered a sample.
No, they ask you, would you like a slice?
Let's
and then you say yes, and that's it.
Meats.
Yeah, the samples are there. They're there to be sampled.
Stay away from deli meats in general.
If you go 7 times to get a free sample, Jay, are you buying the product?
That's
after
what I
that?
Want to know.
No,
yes.
Definitely not.
That's that is ridiculous.
That's
are
cheap.
Frank, you just had a full on 8-piece meal of nuggets.
Yes.
For free.
Yes. Yes, I did, and I am full, and it suffices.
So, Jay, are you walking around and coming back, or are you hovering?
Oh no, I'm not hovering. I'm going to play it cool. Yeah. I'm going to look at products. I'm going to walk around and come back, walk around, then come back, have more stuff in my cart.
Wait.
I'm buying stuff.
What'd
you say?
We have to paint a picture here. So is the sample that you're grabbing in, let's say, a mall food court or something?
I mean, or if we're giving the Costco example.
Okay. Let's use Costco. Let's
stay
there.
So you're just aimlessly walking up and down aisles to circle back to grab the same thing that you
I'm going there to buy products. I'm buying things that I came there to buy. And by the way, the stuff I'm going to buy is completely going to cover the cost of your free sample 10 times I come to visit.
Okay.
Easily.
You cannot freeload a entire meal at the sample line.
But I'm not freeloading anything. I'm subsidizing your store.
No, you're
not. I'm buying products from your store.
You're not subsidizing the store.
What do you mean? I'm buying products from the store
at
an inflated rate. Have you seen inflation costs these days, Freddie?
I've seen the inflation numbers. I get that. But subsidizing the store by eating freely of one product but buying others, I don't know how you make that match up.
Try me a river, Justin Timberlake.
Wait a minute. It's like we've all, or some of us, gone out, had a few, right? You run up a tab. What happened? Like, a good bartender will give you a shot or two free throughout the night.
Yeah,
yes. You're not turning
one or two.
You're not turning that down.
One or two. Key.
Not seven. Not seven or eight.
Jay definitely acts surprised too every time. It's like, oh, free samples
it so
every
good.
Time.
No, but I'm just saying, it doesn't say free shots of tequila. You know, I mean, when you buy these five drinks, it doesn't say that. Like, that's more done. Like, hey, like I am making a gesture. You are buying things here. Uh-huh. Here's more free things to incentivize you to buy more.
I love the way
you never bought the food though. You
but I'm buying the products. I'm out here buying air conditioners from Costco.
Okay, I love the way he used the inflation argument. Saying that it's hard out here in these streets with these
tough
prices.
Tough economic times right now, Freddie.
So if I'm going to buy an air conditioner, I'm going to sample something 7 to 8 times, and that evens things
out. You guys are really crying over the 7 times I sample free orange chicken.
I've had seven pieces of orange chicken. You can
and
do
now
whatever you
I'm
want.
I'm hustling the free sample.
And then you load your groceries into your helicopter and head home.
and by the way, the toothpick's probably the most expensive thing you've thrown out.
Get a sample of orange chicken. You have completed an order of.
Yes.
I'm assuming it's a number 6.
Yeah.
Can I get a large number 6?
So, yeah. So wait,
the general sales.
Alan Yates, are you officially saying that you are going to live to the standard of what Pat Costello just said? 2 times max.
I don't really trust people cooking, so I don't do the sample.
What are
thing
you
anyway.
Talking about? What do you mean you don't trust people
so
cooking?
So you can't even have a comment on this.
What are you talking
then?
About?
There's absolutely etiquette. If I was in the food court and watch you circle me 9 times to eat 7 pieces of orange chicken, I'm calling Paul Blart and all the mall cops. I'm saying, yo, this man's up to something.
That's fine. I'm going to get smart. I'm going to hustle it again. I'm going to start sending my friends back for the free orange chicken.
And I'm going to tell
him to continue to sample
it. She's with him.
So maybe the bigger question is about this whole thing, thanks to Chris Carlin, about sample etiquette.
There's no etiquette.
When Costco, apparently not based on you. You're doing 7-8 times. You passed the etiquette training a long time ago. So what is an acceptable number to Pat or to Alan or to Nuno? If someone's going to sample, what's a number that's the dividing line? Once you go past that number, that's it.
2.
It's number 2.
2 is the max, and then you have to buy the thing. You can't have 7.
Okay, Alan, what's the acceptable number?
Number 2.
Okay, Nuno, what's acceptable number?
Well, 2 quick things. Probably 2 to 3.
Number 2.
But I also feel like these guys haven't spent a Saturday morning in a Costco's at BJ's.
Ever.
That's part of it. Like, what do they have as samples? Like, you kind of get a little, you know, like, there's a little smile on your face when they actually have something good there. Like,
right. And they freely give as much away as you want to eat.
Wait, okay. And see, this is what happens, too. Like, this is what Alan Yates and Pat Costello don't have. Like, the Saturdays that we end up going to Costco are the Saturdays where, look, wife and I have the little date night on Friday night, so we're a little bit hungover. We got the kids. They're running around everywhere. The kids want to try one. I'm getting hung. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's a lot to manage.
Well, just order the hot dog, man. They tell me Costco hot dogs is great. You over here eating orange chicken platters full.
But still, you got to take it home and cook it. You got to take it home and cook it. You don't have to do that with a sample. It's already there for you.
They got pre-made hot dogs in that joint.
Then he's going to sample those.
Nah, you got to just buy that joint. If you go in there,
then you
got to
buy it and take. Then you
got to
buy it and take it home and cook it. You don't have to do that with samples.
I'm also hungover. I'm tired.
Yeah,
from Costco.
Now that's not going to fly.
I got a minute.
Nice try.
To be clear, I'm eating the grilled cheese, not I'm not allowed to eat the orange chicken.
Why not?
Whoa, wait, why not?
HR?
I'm not allowed.
Apparently, Pat is worried that if he says that he likes chicken and watermelon, there's going to be like a fight behind the scenes or something like that.
I didn't say that.
you did not say it, though.
Love those grilled cheese samplers.
If someone gave me a sample of grilled cheese, I'm reporting them to the CDC.
What are you talking about? To the CDC? What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Are they giving you a side of tomato soup, though? You got
to
dip it.
I'm allergic to that, so I'm absolutely out on that.
Fine, but don't report them to the CDC because you're allergic to it.
Grilled cheese.
Why is it cold and stale?
Then don't eat it.
Yo.
Keep going. There are other samples.
There's rules on grilled cheeses, man.
I don't doubt that, but if you don't like it, don't eat it.
What is it, like? You got like 10 commandments on grilled cheese? What are they?
I don't think Jay and Saquon Barkley were having grilled cheese yesterday, but what did he learn? That's next.
This is ESPN Radio. More next.